Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. So we take a look at the readings for this Sunday and listen to the opening prayer. Almighty ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Do you pray that way? Do you ask God, pour out your mercy upon us? The times in which we're living right now are very difficult, and it's hard. I know that. It's painful. You're confined, in a sense. It's hard living through this. And yet, what is God saying to us in a time like this? Come to me, all you who labor. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I'll show you what it is you can do. Turn to me. So let's take a look at the first reading now from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let me now sing of my friend's song concerning his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it he built a watchtower and hewed out a winepress. Then he looked for the crop of grapes, but what it yielded was wild grapes. Now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? Why, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing, break through its walls, let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the house of Judah are his cherished plant. He looked for judgments, but see, bloodshed, for justice, but hark the outcry. Brothers and sisters, what kind of time are we living in? Are we in this time taking stock of ourselves? Are we confessing our sin? Are we drawing closer to God? Or have we turned away from God? Where are we? Brothers and sisters, one day, just as I will, one day we will see him face to face, and we will need to render an account. How ready are you? I ask myself that question every day. I'm not ready. What comes up in my head sometimes are the excuses. Well, I did this, but this is why I did it. No, I just want to say to the Lord, Lord, make my heart ready to see you whenever that comes. It might be 50 years from now. It might be 10 years from now, 5 years from now. But make your heart ready for him. Open your heart. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. A vine from Egypt you transplanted. You drove away the nations and planted it. It put forth its foliage to the sea. It shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that every passerby plucks its fruit? The boar from the forest lays it waste, and the beasts of the field feed upon it. Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine. Protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man whom you yourself made strong. Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life, and we will call upon your name. Lord God of hosts, restore us. If your face shine upon us, then we shall be saved. We want, brothers and sisters, to ask forgiveness for our sin. Take this time. Ask forgiveness. Clean the slate, as some friends of mine say. Clean the slate. Believe me, brothers and sisters, God will forgive. He always forgives. But come to him in confession. Confess your sins. Fear not. You will be blessed by God. And the second reading is taken from Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Get rid of the gossip. Get rid of the lies. Your speech should honor the Lord. You don't have to use the Lord's name in every speech, but let your word be good. Let your word be encouraging to one another. Let your word be filled with hope when somebody needs it. Let your word, if necessary, give a correction to someone or be willing to receive one. All God wants is you. He loves you. Turn to him. All of us, brothers and sisters, all of us. And now we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 to 43. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants, and he went on a journey. When vintage time came, when it drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." Brothers and sisters, where are we? Are we seeking to build up, or are we seeking to pull down? What are we doing? Please, brothers and sisters, take hold of your speech. Put a bridle around your speech and ask God. Bring your mind to God and offer it to God and say, "Lord, I want my thoughts, my words, my actions to please you. Help me, Lord. Help me to get rid of lies. Help me to get rid of gossip. Help me to get rid of putting someone down in another's eyes. Help me not to be angry. Brothers and sisters, there's so many ways in which we could change our lives. And I want to encourage you, because you too and I as well will stand before the throne of God, as I have said to you. And we will be asked, what have you done with what I have given you? Brothers and sisters, I want us to be before him in heaven. I want us to be with him. I read this that might be helpful to you. The real question is how the Christian is to strive toward that blossoming of the realities of his faith, which are only given to him in this life under the veil of the sacraments. In other words, what are the implications here and now of that loyalty to Christ, which for us is the sine qua non of eternal life? First of all, does it involve even the slightest devaluation of this life, and in particular of the purely human tasks which it imposes upon us? Nothing could be further from the truth. The Christian will be judged not by his ability to escape from his human tasks and responsibilities, but on the contrary, according to the fresh meaning which he has discovered in them and the renewed devotion with which he has discharged them. If eternal life were independent of this life, then the latter would become worthless and unimportant. But this is not the case at all. Christianity knows no other external life but the one we prepare for, and even to some extent enact during the course of his life. Such a view of eternal life, far from nullifying this one, gives it infinite value. If this present life were due to stop tomorrow with no hope of an afterlife, it could never have the importance conferred on every minute of it by the Christian prospect, not just of eternity, but of eternal judgment and resurrection. Without any doubt for the Christian, everything hinges on the imminence of Christ's return. Every Christian must or ought to live every moment with a lively consciousness that Christ may call him the very next moment to appear before him and be judged for eternity according to what he has done with his life up to then. Every hour of every day, the whole church repeats, "Come, Lord Jesus, come soon," and she is ready to welcome him. What does this really mean? It simply emphasizes the extreme and necessary urgency for every Christian to practice perfect charity. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.